This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Of course, before we start, let's remember, this podcast is rated M for mature. Unfortunately, according to FCC regulations, that means none of us are actually allowed to be on the podcast. So, see you next week.
Well, no. We're allowed to be on it. We're not allowed to listen to it.
Right. No one listen to any words that you're saying right now.
What?
I have a fetish for Steve-O. Glad I could get that off my chest.
It's a good thing
I could put it on his chest too.
It's a good thing no one's listening to what I'm saying right now, or else they all find out about my secret desire to. Oh, is this thing still on?
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of the most unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
I like to take my... I'd say that I like to take my time, but the truth is I'll have already come once from the TF2 fix, so it'll take a while to build up again.
Spoiler alert!
Dirty girl!
Spoiler alert.
Don't listen into private conversations.
I can't.
Roy...
It's part of what I do.
Roy, I love your spoiler. It makes your car go so fast.
Yeah, it does. Welcome to Fast and Furious 8.
Oh, yeah. It's called Fast 8. Furious Roy. Well, that wasn't a very good joke. All right, that's like community news.
What do you mean, community news? It's fucking Friday Night...
The next song.
This is Overclocked After Dark. No. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction, and I am exhausted, so I'm abdicating my role to my lesser half, who has a bigger dick than me. Not lesser half, better half.
Clitoral hood, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you say clitoral hood, and I think about the steam hoods that are used over, like, grills at delis.
What?
What's wrong with you?
Many things. What do we have on the docket tonight?
Tonight we have a steaming Team Fortress 2 fanfiction that none of you were aware that we were going to read, despite what Steve-O may have said earlier.
Oh, sure. Right. Okay.
And then we'll have something really special after that.
Also, Gamer Brad shall be joining us during our role reversal episode.
A role reversal episode?
Yes. Val is me and I am Val. And you
does that
are,
mean you're into pegging?
I'm into Peggy Hill.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah!
Oh, is that the subtext of Peggle?
No.
It makes sense now.
The subtext of Boggle.
So much.
Boggle.
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 What the hell is bogging? That's not a sex term I've heard yet.
At the very least, I did go out to Buffalo for a day and a half and totally just had a YouTube and board games party while getting massively drunk. It was a lot of fun.
All right, we are reading He's a Lady, a Team Fortress 2 fanfiction.
Oh, he's a lady.
Of course, before we start... Let's remember, this podcast is rated M for mature. Unfortunately, according to FCC regulations, that means none of us are actually allowed to be on the podcast. So, see you next week.
Well, no. We're allowed to be on it. We're not allowed to listen to it.
Right. No one listen to any words that you're saying right now.
What?
I have a fetish for Steve-O. Glad I could get that off my chest.
It's a good thing
I could put it on his chest too.
It's a good thing no one's listening to what I'm saying right now, or else they all find out about my secret desire to. Oh, is this thing still on?
First reader's Brad.
He knew it was wrong, but he could not abandon his plan now that it had been put into full force and motion. Here he stood, wobbly, in a pair of stiletto heels and stockings, with a blue cocktail dress he found in his mother's closet, as well as cosmetics he found in her bathroom. He found the wig elsewhere. It was blonde, as the sunset was golden. In other words, he looked the part of a she, and a she was the part he was playing this night. I am already very confused. Again, his conscience told him to stop, but it was too late. The BLU Scout.
I believe that's pronounced blue.
Yeah, it's yeah. Just, or if you want to go old school, Builders League United.
Wobbled on shaky legs, half carrying and half supporting a very drunk counterpart in a red uniform, smiling as best he could as the other man mumbled on about nothing in particular. His body sluggish and his mind hazy. It was the perfect plan, really, or so it seemed, when the Blue Scout first thought it up. In the wee hours of a lonely morning, he had his eyes set on his red counterpart for some time, completely and utterly smitten with the other boy, but it was a secret only known to him. The Red Scout was not gay, at least not to the blue-clad boy's knowledge, but he doubted the other male would be interested in him anyway. Either a cross-faction love was forbidden, as well as homosexual love to begin with.
So this is Romeo and Juliet.
But mostly the cross-faction thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and I took the one less traveled by.
It was the 1960s, after all.
No, it wasn't. That game takes place in 1950s. Eat a dick.
Who are you telling to eat a dick? The author?
Yes.
Okay.
I wouldn't tell Gamer Brad to eat a dick. He's a nice guy.
All right.
I thought it was me. Oh, I should put this away.
Why would I tell Roy to eat a dick? I love Roy.
I thought it was a friendly suggestion. I had one in my head.
So, what better way to get close to his beloved than to be what the other boy would like? A flirtation in a higher pitched voice.
Salvage yourself there.
And a never-ending stream of alcohol under low lights, and the Blue Scout looked the very part of some Swedish supermodel.
You're right.
Yeah, no.
Hey, yo, look like a Swedish supermodel over here. Yes.
Never-ending stream of alcohol.
Never-ending stream of booze.
Chug-a-log, chug-a-log, chug-a-log.
Never-ending stream of booze. Not yet. I'm
getting drunk, getting drunk, getting drunk.
The Red Scout fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker.
The only sinker? I hardly knew her.
That's not funny.
I know.
The only problem was getting the drunkard back to the Blue Scout's rented hotel room. And then
yeah, staying at the bush.
Wait, hourly or overnight?
Oh, boy.
Well, that was for the night to decide. But just having the boy to himself was more than what he could have asked for. He just had to keep the charade up for a while yet, even if the other male was busy trying to put sloppy kisses all over his cheek and neck.
Hey, you want some taco-flavored kisses?
It's like dog kisses.
It's like Philly cheesesteak.
The thing is, this was written before that that like 15-minute one where he has to, where the spy is teaching him how to actually be a gentleman.
Good at dating.
So, yeah, good at dating. So now, like now, when I read this, I just imagine him. Both of the scouts will just have like a bucket of fried chicken in their hotel rooms.
I'm okay with this, actually.
Yeah, he enjoyed it though. That much was certain. And the way he fake giggled in a girly voice and pushed at the Red Scout's face in a flirtatious manner.
No, don't kiss me, please.
It only made the other boy all the more excited, and it took all effort to get to the room without going into full makeout session in the elevator altogether.
Okay, this is going to be a half-hour makeout session.
The Blue Scout wished it could have been slower, more romantic, but he could only reap in the benefits of his hard-earned capture. For what it was, he felt his counterpart's hands move to his hips and nearly melted into the touch. But he had to be on his guard. Every movement had to be accounted for, lest he want to be discovered for a not woman. You mean a male?
No.
It's a not woman.
It was made difficult by a pair of roaming hands. One would think the red youth had never been with a real woman the way
never ever, but I've seen a lot of anime porn.
Falling all over himself to touch the foreign body he held so close.
Yo, Snake, this is just like one of my Japanese animes.
Check out my body pillow.
Yo, I'm gonna have a busy night's cosplay, if you know what I'm saying.
Come on, baby, don't be so shy. The Red Scout cooed as he nestled up against the other's body. His own
Steve-o.
Why? This...
Oh, yeah, I love pigeons. The hat.
Oh, cool. So this is her total boyfriend.
That's what Steve-O does. He can do. He can't.
Sorry. How to get with Steve-O. Step one.
Be a pigeon.
Even Laza can do it.
Boner explosion!
He was fortunately too drunk to realize the equally muscular body he pressed against. All that mattered to the boy was the fact he found some woman willing to have sex with him, and he was more than ready to oblige in both their wishes.
Mm. Get ready, because here I come, baby.
All right, next up is Logan.
It's okay. Logan's run.
No one's ever made that. How is that? How have we never done that yet?
I'm quite positive you have.
I feel like I've done it in OCAD at one point, but
you had to have. Yeah. All right. The scout and drag mustered up some sort of shy giggle, his hand pressing at the other man's chest. This only riled the other boy up further, and he all but pounced the blue scout altogether. Wow. However, his drunken stupor would prove to make him much too slow for the sober male, and he found himself pressed against the wall, trying to hug the other body.
He was a skater boy, a Cecilia boy.
I like that in a woman.
Oh, God.
The red scout grinned as he turned to face the other. Come on, baby. Don't leave me hanging. Blue Scout made his way to the hotel bedroom, gently sitting on the edge as he took off his shoes. His face.
Steve-O, you're not doing your job.
Oh, and sorry. I'm
got a face full of alien wing.
It's not bedroom. It's room bed.
He fucking missed it.
Yep. Fum, 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 fum.
Mentioned the other boy, motioned the other boy to him with a bending finger. Red Scout would not be asked twice as he nearly stumbled over his own feet. Approached the bed, his shirt being pulled up and thrown behind him in the process. He straddled the other male and forced him to lie on his back, which he easily complied, all the while tracing circles into a very muscular chest. He was rewarded with a few more sloppy kisses. It was now or never. The Blue Scout had to make the other boy his, and he would do so in a process of unfastening his pants and exposing a very raging arousal.
Yeah, you see what you do to me, baby?
The Red Scout whispered as he touched his own member and gave it a rub. The boy in drag became greedy, his eyes shining with amazement and hunger. In one sweep, the entirety of the Red's length was in his mouth and hitting the back of his throat.
Delicious.
Let out a surprised but very pleased moan, and he had a pair of hips to keep the upright male from downright fucking his face altogether in his excitement. He held on, slowly licking the shaft and delighting in the sounds the other male made as
thank you.
He fell over and held himself upright on a pair of shaky arms looming over the scout in drag. It was a wonderful feeling to relish in, and he would have continued to do so had the Red Scout not pulled away to remove his pants altogether and pounced the Blue Scout on the bed.
Stop saying pounce.
Pounce.
Pounce. Pounce.
Come on, baby. You know you want it. No, you know what I want.
I want them baps. Give me them baps.
Trailing kisses along the boy and drag's neck. It made the feminine scout blush brighter, and he bit his painted lips.
Painted with what?
A nice lead-based paint.
Yeah. Or painted with the blood of his enemies.
Nope, lead-based.
Lead blood.
This was the 50s, after all.
No, the
60s. Of course, he knew that the other boy wanted, and there was a thin dress separating the two from doing just that. But there would be another detail to explain that was hiding beneath the dress. But the drunken scout was too far gone with his own ecstasy to care at this point.
Ecstasy? Probably.
So all walls could be taken down. At least that's what he hoped as he nodded to the red boy who licked his own lips in anticipation and began to unzip the only layer between them. Slowly, he moved the zipper down to the other boy's back, trailing kisses as he did so. And only when the zipper could move no further, he leaned back and pulled the other boy up, allowing the dress to slide off his body. And in that moment, the
drunken
scout was filled with a world of clarity.
He wouldn't be able to unzip the zipper. Those things are tough, like, even if you're fully cognizant, let alone drunk off your face.
He's like, get stuck with the zipper.
He gets stuck on the zipper and you just go, what am I supposed to do here?
Okay, here we go. Huh, what in the fuck? You're a dude? The Red Scout bellowed as he disdainfully pointed at the other man, whom now stood in a shamed stance. He nodded as his hands tried to hide himself and keep himself modest, but the other had already seen enough, and his reddened face gave way to anger and confused nature of the predicament. He stalked over and grabbed the blue scout by the arm and slung him around where he fell on the bed. How could you do that to me? The blue scout flinched to prepare for an oncoming attack. He deserved it, after all, but it never came.
He's falling into like the classic 50s wife like role of just expecting like the abuse.
There will be beatings, just you wait. Rather, the other boy stood over his body, seething and breathing heavily. Stared.
Is he still angry, or is he turned on?
He's a lady.
Whoa!
Used it to brush fingers at his own frustration. The boy on the bed relaxed enough to turn and look up to the other. Why would you do this? The Red Scout asked, with a bit of hitch in his speech. He crossed his arm as he loomed over the other. The boy in the bed. God. The boy in the.
On the bed.
Oh, that's good. The boy on the bed, in turn, gave a shrug and looked to the floor. I just wanted you to like me, Zol.
But there's two scouts. Like you.
You think it's going to be. It's me. You think tricking me is going to make me. Fuck, shut up! I'm working on it. You think tricking me is going to make me like you? You dress like a woman. You made me think you're a woman.
His voice was a woman.
You are a woman.
You were.
His voice was booming by now, and the rage was once again reddening on the red boy's face.
No, on.
I'm sorry. I thought you'd be with me if I was something you liked. Oh, you're way out of your mind. You fucking creep. No way. I'd ever. But you almost. Shut up. The Red Scout screeched, his hand raised into a fist to strike the other boy, but he hesitated. He hesitated, staring down at the body below his own. He let it aside. The male on the bed flinched and prepared for a hit that never came. He opened an eye, and then the next stared up at the other, at the computer. No, the head went down into the scout's side and his shoulders slumped in defeat. Well, I guess we're still here. I don't like that ideology right there. I guess we're still here. Shit. Yeah, the blue scouts asked as he sat up on his elbows. No fooling. The red boy jumped on the other's face and pointed
in
at him.
In the other's face.
In the other's face. Oh.
That's very painful.
The red boy jumped into the other. I'm just like, my problem with this is I'm seeing this as a Source filmmaker game right here.
Yeah, me too.
The red boy jumped into his face and pointed at him. You don't mean that I'm gay or nothing. That don't mean I'm gay or nothing. You got it? I just don't want my dick hurting later is all.
So right. That's a good attitude to take.
Right. Gotcha. The blue scout nodded. It was in the best of circumstances, but at least the other boy was still here.
Still waiting.
Willing.
Well, shit, willing, fuck.
Don't let your mind make up the fanfic for you, Dave.
I can't help it, dude. I can't help it. All I want is my dick to not be hurting later.
All you want, all you really, really want?
Is tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
We have nothing. Just go.
All right, so back to the dick hurting. It was that or nothing, and he could deal with a little heartache afterwards just to live in this moment. Moment, if you know what I mean. He was hesitant in his movements, but finally found the bravery to slide off the bed to approach the other, slowly reclaiming the red's mouth and gently gripping his still present arousal.
Hey, I'm in your boner. I'm still here.
Hey, what are you doing with my boner, man? Put it back.
Yeah, foreskin, baby.
Oh, God.
Touches the other guy's dick. You've captured the enemy intelligence.
It's you know...
Umbilicus has locked.
The red male, in turn, was equally hesitant, even going so far as to close his eyes and pretend he was with the woman from earlier. It helped somewhat. And he gave a soft moan in between mouths and bucked his hips touch.
He bucked his shit.
Shut up. Oh my gosh. red mail was
no, it caused
red mail.
Don't open red mail, it's a howler.
Shut up. It caused the Blue Scout to smile, and he found his rhythm once again, his hand free moving to the lower back of the other boy, pulling him close as he continued his ministrations. Ew, that sounds really close to a word that's also gross. Ministrations.
Yes, mini illustrations.
He easily led the red boy to the bed where he broke the kiss to sit down and put himself on the perfect level to put an erection in his mouth once.
You got two mistakes in that.
What? No.
David may in fact be the first to die on this podcast.
I don't want to die, especially not to this. The blue scoot worked at it, licking along the shaft as he bobbed his head up and down and reveled in the moaning of the other boy.
From the other boy.
Oh, God. Oh, this flowery language is the worst.
From considered flowery language?
Wait,
flowery?
Am I the only one who heard blue scoot?
Yeah, I did in fact say blue scoot. But
all right, Val, you're next.
Apparently the scout is at least 23 because for a brief stint in high school, Scout joined the track team in one of his many schemes to pick up girls. He was kicked off the team after 3 days when everyone realized he was 23 years old and also not enrolled in the school. I would start calling someone a man even if they looked fairly youthful.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man!
No, he's a lady.
He's a lady! Whoa!
All right, Val, you're next.
It finally became, yes.
It finally came.
No, that's not yet. Ho ho! It finally became too overwhelming for the Red Scout to stand on his own 2 feet as his knees buckled. He fell over, withdrawing from the other boy's mouth and landing atop him. It caused him to blush and the blue male to grin sheepishly. So now what? Well, to put it bluntly, this is where you get to fuck me.
You actually have a really good pseudo-New York accent.
I didn't even, like, really try.
Anyways, keep going.
All right. Give me a minute to figure it out. The Red Scout hummed as he lifted himself off the other boy, grabbing the back of his thigh and hoisting it over his shoulder. What?
Yeah, I have to hoist mine over my shoulder, too.
Doing, like, the human pretzel kind of dealy.
Let me figure this out. I don't know how sex works yet, apparently.
Well, I've never actually had sex, so, you know, this is the first time for me, too.
Wait, you mean I put this in you? Ew.
Wait, that's gross. I don't want to put it in your butthole.
Val, you're very convincing sounding like David and Roy.
Thank you. Like this, yeah? It's a start. The blue male replied with a wiggle of his hips.
Wriggle.
Oh, wriggle. Oops.
Like Wrigley's spearmint gum? Double mint.
With the wiggles of his hips.
I don't know. I don't chew gum. I can't.
Oh. Like,
you gonna stick in me or what? Stick it in me.
Thank you.
Jeez, you're just like a chick. All impatient and shit.
What? No, that's not... No.
All impatient and shit, that's what it says. The Red Scout obliged, however, and lowered himself to the other's entrance. One glance and one nod gave him the incentive to keep pressing into him, though he was slow and cautious and completely out of his element with pressing into the backside of another man. But the blue boy would not let him turn away now. Come on already! I ain't some porn sling doll!
Porcelain.
Yes, porcelain.
Not porn sling.
You said porn sling.
You did say porn sling.
Porcelain. Get rough with me! I can't take it! Gave a deep groan as his backside was suddenly filled with the other boy, and his face was contorted in a satisfied grin.
Wait, like a Cheshire Cat grin? That's the only contorted grin I can think of. That's
We're
fucking
all mad down here.
That's just fucking disturbing to imagine a Cheshire Cat's head on the Scout's body.
It's the same face as the I'm okay with Tyrannosaur dicks.
Yes, it was enough to tell the other scout to continue, and he began rocking against the blue's backside, roughly as per requested.
Suddenly, a fire broke out.
Oh. This isn't Dragon Ball Z.
It took no time at all for the perspiration to form on both boys' bodies, and their pants and moans were a sudden symphony as their bodies entangled, and the bed squeaked, and the headboard hit the wall with the force of the thrusting.
What movement was this?
To the alliteration there.
No. Oh god, I'm hearing it as fucking what's his name from The Simpsons, and the headboard hit the wall with the force of the thrusting.
Oh, you mean Professor Frank?
Professor Frank.
Yeah, fuck, why did I forget?
I have no idea.
It's been years since I watched Simpsons.
The pants and the moans were a sudden symphony!
Good afternoon, or good morning, ma'am. Good afternoon, sir. Technically, the day did change over at the time.
That's too southern. But anyway.
I don't fucking shut up. I don't care.
Come on, Valerie.
The Blue Scout dare not step out of line with the other male, so getting a hand job would be out of the question. Instead, he found rhythm with his thrusts and pumped at his own arousal with a free hand. The other's
disqualified hand job.
Yep. The other's fingers digging into his shoulder blade, hanging on for all dear life as the bouncing continued.
Boy, boy, boy.
I can only imagine either, you know, the clip art, whatever, sound font, the free sound font.
Yeah.
That. For boring or the Sonic one.
Oh, boing.
It was a matter of time before he found that perfect pace to match the thrusts, and the blue boy was melting all over again in the sensation now that he was being hit in the special spot in his backside.
I read this one furry porn one time where there was this donkey guy who was nicknamed Blue Boy, and this one chick was lusting over him, and it turns out he has a giant raging dingus.
I am not surprised. Yeah, you like that? The Red Scout asked, more or less in a taunting tone than he had used before when his date was female. The other would play along, though, and it was hard to fake the gasping. Yeah, yeah, just like that.
Oh, hoagies and grinders. Hoagies and grinders.
The session would not last very long after that. The red boy felt a sudden tightness around his land as the other tensed up, approaching orgasm. He let out a soft grunt and shivered, his body releasing between the two chests and stomachs.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it works, Steve-O. You know, when a man and a man love each other very, very much. It
turns into a scene from The Thing.
Yes.
Because when I see two chests and stomachs.
It was too good a feeling to repress in sensations, so he would follow immediately with vigor and Yenna-like yelling. Yeah, Yenna-like this is awesome! Yelling. It's amazing! I'm gonna...
Oh.
He wrote out his own orgasm atop the other boy with a high growl. Like, what? Yes. Finally falling over on his back next to the blue body, both equally panting and enjoying the sensations and tingling of body parts. Both males could easily fall asleep right then and there, but there would be a sudden awkwardness to the situation. The red looked the other's body up and down and gave him a quick study before speaking. So, to get up. You did all that just to jump my bones? Well, yeah. Like I said, I'm... Precious, you're laying on my books.
That's not part of the story.
No. Don't apologize.
That's pretty good. I'd say yes.
You did what you thought I'd like, and I appreciate that. Said no man ever.
Hey, I appreciate my lover.
On the side, facing away from the other's body, his face turning a bright red. Just next time, make it a brunette. I got a thing for him. Next time? Yeah. The Blue Scout gave him a warm smile and flopped over against his now lover's body, arms wrapping around him.
Flop.
And soft kisses placed on his visible shoulder. Plop. Plop. Plop.
Plop.
Plop.
Plop.
Brunette it is.
Yeah.
When you're in love.
Where'd I leave my brain bleach?
Roy, what's the next one? And you
come
get
on,
to start
that was
reading.
Nothing.
That was honestly very tame.
It was yeah, that was pretty tame. It was just it was blood sex, that's all.
Second fic is... a nice little story that I think we can all relate to. We'll be reading Kim Possible, Futa Hard.
Oh, I wanted to read this one. Oh, it's okay. All right, Roy, go ahead.
Also, Sean, I actually
have... Oh, this is... Oh!
Content code warnings. 3+, anal, dom, DP, FF, fingering, FD,
Final Fantasy
HJ, perm, oral, PWP, rape, TF, WIP. Hey, there you go. Wait, there's all your content warnings.
Progress?
Yeah,
this is a work in progress from like probably like 2010.
Or
I'm going to guess.
Is that like WIP?
It's work in progress.
The only one I'm not sure is TF. Oh.
Transformation. It's transformation.
It's transformation.
Like I know.
Like, straight up, man. If I know my porn, it's transformation.
I know all.
And
the
we
other
know
one,
our
like...
porn here at Friday Night Fanfiction. You can guarantee that we know our porn. Indeed. Behold the awe-inspiring might of my all-powerful legal disclaimer.
Tremble legal no disclaimer. Discard.
Tremble and know ye. Fear in its dark shadow. Or, you know, skip over it. skip over to the story like 99.9% of everyone else reading these things does. Mm. How dare you, author? We would never do that. Disclaimer, yeah, this story contains graphic descriptions of sexual acts, and the reader assumes any and all responsibility for proceeding further, including any legal age requirements that may exist regarding their exposure to such material in the country in which they reside. This story is a work of fiction. Any resemblance to actual events or to real persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Impossible and associated characters, the property of Walt Disney Corporation, are used here for parody reasons without the permission or challenge to related copyrights. Rating, XXX. Categories, Fem/Sorta, Fudanari and other weirdness, ? Definitely.
And many more.
On Channel 4.
Distribution. No, this story is copyright symbol by me, the author, Lord Kellendros, and may not be redistributed in any altered form, nor in part, but may be freely distributed in its whole unaltered form, so long as no profit is made by the parties doing so.
$20 for the pizza party by reading this.
No.
Damn it!
Never get our $20. Oh, sweet. Let's go to goddamn
let's go to fucking...
Is this contract notarized? That we're reading?
Credits. Credits. None to date. Yeah, sorry. Well, be sure to read down, skip down to the bottom.
Let me call my lawyers up. Beep, boop, boop.
No, look, fucking God, it takes forever if you do that. Just skip to the bottom, sign. Look, there's a dotted line right here. Just
Cat, Dog, and Moose here.
Okay. author's notes. The words gay and straight are normally not capitalized in proper grammar, but when used in the context of sexual orientation,
boring.
It looks funny to me if they're not, so I capitalize them. Sue me, winky face, wrong. Tongue out face. They
should quick, Moose, sue this bastard. Okay.
Attorney Moose.
By canon, Kim's height is roughly 5'3", but that makes her, and more importantly, numerous characters whose heights are cued off her, far too short for my liking, so I made her taller.
You can't just do that.
Yeah.
He just did. Suck it down,
is now
bitch.
20'10".
Gigantor. Anyways, let's get down to the fucking reading already.
I was reading. This is all the hot stuff. Now we have to do the boring, like, sex parts. Ew. Threshing her way through the verdant underbrush, a nearly naked Kim Possible stumbled out into a modest-sized clearing carpeted with a thick layer of soft, giving moss and a handful of lush ferns. As her frantic, desperate eyes took in everything around her, the teenager noted that the clearing was beyond secluded, with a canopy from several old oak trees and a ringing wall of tall, leafy bushes cutting off all view of it save from directly overhead, where a rough, leaf-edged window opened up to the bright blue summer sky directly overhead. A few seconds later, the harried redhead... Harried? Don't think I've heard that. Lurched out into that patch of clear sunlight, looking this way and that with her wild queen eyes, like nothing more than a hunted animal, all while rivulets of sweat streamed down every inch of her tight, tanned, athletically muscled frame.
All right, let's humidity. Just admit it right now. We only know what rivulets mean because it's a fucking SAT word.
Is it?
Yes.
I never took the SAT.
I know what that is because I've read a book before, but...
Oh, damn! Slam, son!
Well, I too have read a book before.
Good. Take
that
a helping
book was
of points.
The Oxford Dictionary. Athletically muscled frame in the thick humidity and rising heat of the early morning sun. I got one paragraph of story and a half, three quarters of a page of author's notes and legal documents.
Oh! Oh! I have to read ahead to do all these breaks and all, man! Oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God, oh, man, oh, God.
Well, he's the ref this time, so...
We start over again, so Brad!
Yeah, but he's still bad at...
Perhaps the near-primal panicky air rolling off of every part of her bare, tensed to run at a moment's notice body was the result of that same curvaceous, magnificently well-developed physical being out in the great outdoors. Well-developed physique being out in the great outdoors while also being completely exposed, save for the pair of incredulously cute-looking ankle-high pink-trimmed white super socks that covered her feet.
So granted, she's totally naked except for socks that she left on.
Yeah. Don't apparently, you do that?
Yeah, dude. I walk around without socks all the time.
No, it's with nothing but socks.
Oh, dude. That too.
Oh, good. I just looked at the IRC chat.
the super white socks that covered her feet, granting them the same protection as a protection a pair of heavy leather shoes would have. Or maybe, just maybe, it had more to do with the fact that Kim seemed to be sporting an additional appendage this day in the form of a not so small, just the slightest bit swollen and very pretty foreskinless cock sprouting from her smooth, hairless groin, just above the base of her equally just a little bit excited pinky finger-sized clit. A third possibility could have been the combination of the two. After all, she could hardly hide what was going on with her altered state without clothes. Because two hands placed oddly and awkwardly down below would have most likely had someone asking other, far more uncomfortable questions than just why she was naked. Hang on a sec, I need to drink.
Venus.
Then again, the simplest explanation for her apprehensiveness, almost feral demeanor that the hot, naked, presently genetically altered teen heroine actually was being hunted like an animal might just be the correct one, given that a few moments later, a swift shadow flowed over Kim, along with the silent, hurtling form of an equally exposed she-go, passing high above the red head in one of her trademark inhumanly long easy leaps.
One sentence. I hate authors who have stupidly labyrinthine single sentence paragraphs.
Running on sentences. Yeah, running on sentences.
A long letters word.
Well, Roy, it's obviously because the author really wants to get a point across, and you have to admit that an extended sentence has a very effective method of keeping people focused on the subject at hand. And you also have to admit that I'm just going to irritate you.
Your voice is not that
broken.
Okay, you should have gone with furthermore when you said and.
And if Logan, shut the fuck up.
Do it right.
Yeah. Further and more and further.
Bidens.
A few yards in front of and mostly facing her infuriating Goody Two Shoes rival, she goes smirked at the teenager's reflexive cry of alarm. Oh, wow.
When will my reflection show who I am inside?
10-inch height without the slightest hint of concern or modesty over nearly every inch of her amazingly curvy, deliciously thick-legged, broad-hipped, beautifully muscled Amazonian.
Whoa. Whoa, hold up, hold up. That is a lot of conflicting opinions of beauty right there.
And also, why the fucking italics? The random italics.
I don't know. Being just as naked as Kim's was. As a matter of fact, the dark-eyed villainess seemed to revel in it, boldly displaying the full, rounded mounds of her exquisite teardrop breasts and jutting green nipples above a rippling, perfectly chiseled expanse of an absolutely sexy side abs and stomach muscles, all while every bit of her sleek, flawless tea green skin positively glowed in the clear morning sunlight.
Obviously the country he's writing from has heavy taxes on every full stop.
Yes. Don't forget to drink the extra adjectives.
Hey, question for someone who's actually probably watched the series. Why is Shago green?
Because she kind of went
vegan.
It has to do with
it's because like her powers, it actually tinted her skin green. But there's a point I'm pretty sure in like a season 4 episode where she turns good, and it somehow makes her skin go back to being skin colored because the show's inconsistent.
Well, I mean, green people are evil, so
yeah. That's same racist. With blue. If you're super evil, your skin turns blue.
Her brothers are all different colors as well because they all have weird powers as well.
Yeah, because their treehouse was struck with a rainbow comet when they were kids.
Yeah, because that makes total sense.
All right, let's keep going. Anyways, let's read another run-on.
Or maybe it was something else, like the fact that Shego had a cock of her own, just Shego. Like Kim did. Well, maybe not just like Kim did, because unlike her redheaded rival, Shego's cock was furiously erect. And
furious.
So, like, Colossus dick erect.
With a long, slender rope of clear, slippery lubricant dangling from the tip, most likely squirted by the impact of her landing.
Wait a second, I don't think this person understands how anatomy works.
No.
Shocked.
Surely you jest, Roy.
Of course he doesn't. And don't call him Shirley.
Was that worth it, Stephen?
Yes.
That, however, was the very least of the differences between the two very out-of-place organs. The first, most glaring variance was that while Kim's cock could easily be described as pretty or even cute, Shiga's was... Well, monstrous was really the first word that sprang to mind.
Monstrous.
Monstrous!
Unlike the sanded little fat mushroom head Kim's exhibited, Shiga's swollen glands had three thick, rounded projections spaced around the edge of it to make it look like the protective armor and frill of a triceratops.
It's an armor piercing.
I was like, let me just, only with fat, smooth, fingertip-like nubs instead of all the sharp, pointy bits the dinosaur sported.
So it's just like a triceratops, except for the parts where it's not like actually like a triceratops.
No, I don't want to fuck it. Logan!
What? No.
Yes. Logan Reed. Yeah, it's hot.
Further adding to the alien appearance of Shago's dick was the fact that beneath the pale, tight, silky skin covering the top of the erect shaft was a row of broad, backwards projecting nubs running from the center crown above the glands all the way down to the base of the shaft, almost like the raised bones of a prominent spinal column.
All of the tanks used in World War II were based off of Shigo's cock.
Shigo's cock was a weapon of mass destruction.
The WMD.
I'll give him credit. When they said like monstrous, I figured it was just going to be because it was big. But no, yeah.
Literally monstrous. Then there was the most mundane difference, size. Whereas Kim's cock seemed to be about 20, maybe 30% thicker than an average cock, Shago's was very close to being over twice that much bigger. Still not as thick as a wrist, but definitely uncomfortably close enough that it took a long second look at the broad cock and a half vermin. And it curved up from her tight, perfectly defined groin a full 9 inches for sure, maybe even 10. While Kim, assuming grew about as much as it should if she ever got it up, would most likely hit 7 not so slender best.
Bless you.
7 not so slender Gesundheit.
7 not so slender men.
With her dark lipped smile blossoming into a full brilliant grin that made her whole face light up with a stunning beauty of her exotic looks, the pale villainess took a step towards Kim, and the recent high school graduate launched a sloppy, premature, nearly out of control swing at her with
a goddamn sentence within 2 lines!
Barely having to sway back out of range, Shago spoke in a tone positively dripping with saccharine sweet mocking concern.
Oh shit, my saccharine sweet mocking concern's dripping all over the place. Oh,
and
fuck.
Oh shit,
no.
A semicolon, not even
semicolon,
a full stop.
Half stop. Oh, what's the matter, Kimmy? Still having problems with how the transformation leaves you wrung out like a hardcore 6-hour workout?
Why?
Full stop.
Why? Why sound like a Jewish mother from New York?
Because
why wouldn't
it makes you uncomfortable.
It doesn't, though. It just pisses me off.
Well, it just pisses me off. Know what I'm saying?
It's the massive orgasm.
Hey, yeah, it pisses me off.
Had when that.
Yeah. Pisses me off.
Shut up. Let him read.
Sorry.
Well, maybe it's the massive orgasm that you had when that cute little cock of yours grew out, just like everyone does. You did seem to have just a little bit of a problem with standing there while the hot little hard body of yours was all tensed up, jerking and twitching as you blasted a shit ton of cum all over the place.
Just interjecting, David, don't play Payday, you're up next.
I'm not.
Yes, sure, you are.
You're a liar.
She came shit? Is that
she
what
came shit.
Oh, a shit ton of cum.
Yes, that's what he said.
And that's what I... Or at least that's what I assume, given nearly every inch of you turned beet red once you recovered and realized what you'd done. By now, Shager's voice was sheer mirthful taunting and nothing more.
Fuck you, Shago!
Brilliant comeback, Kim. Brilliant. Yeah. 8 out of 10.
It was testament to the overwhelming, outrageous sense of violation Kim felt over what Shago had done to her, let alone what she intended to do, that she was allowing herself to swear at the woman. Or maybe she really was so tired after her ordeal and the subsequent 3 hours spent running through a heavy old-growth forest while being hunted by a sick, twisted, mostly female rival that she simply couldn't control herself.
Full Either stop. Way, drink yeah. for full stop.
Drink for full stop. You would live. Either way, apparently swearing was the order of the day.
Fuck me! Shago suddenly switched to growling intensity and menace mixed with the dark joy.
With menace is a character from Queensblade.
She launched a.
Who was eating?
Easy high kick at the redhead.
No, Kimmy. Fuck you!
It wasn't much of an innuendo, but Shago grinned all the same as Kim barely managed to block her cat and mouse level kick. What the fuck does that even mean?
That means, hey, you guys, I've done a creative writing course. Can you tell?
Dave, your turn.
Okay, so. I'm
playing Payday.
I'm not playing Payday. I'm fucking eating a cracker.
It's the cracker's turn to read.
I mean,
crack that shit.
Don't get me wrong. Right across the speed of mud. If I actually thought you'd know it, there's a pretty good chance I'd get down and present to you like a bitch in heat, you know? Just to see what happened. Left jab off, figuratively yawning. Followed up by a meatball easy. Telegraph right knee.
What the fuck does...
Wait,
that's the episode what? Title, Meatball Easy.
Meatball Easy.
But since we both know that ain't gonna happen, because far be it for little Miss Goody Goody to get down in the mud and sink to my level by giving me a taste of my own medicine. Spinning back heel kick, a white belt could duck along with a feral grin. Well, that leaves it up to me to take the initiative now, doesn't it?
Everybody for the beleaguered mics.
For the beleaguered redhead, the worst of Shigo's assault wasn't that she was so clearly playing with her, though that was pretty bad, but rather how the beautiful, sexy Amazon's incredibly well-bit body bunched and moved with her attacks, all rippling and sinuous, while that freakish cock of hers bounced and snapped around lewdly, like a constant, taunting reminder of what was at stake here. Or rather, it was the strange, very faint, tightness.
Oh my god!
Tightness and warmth that Kim felt in her own not exactly flaccid phallus. Sensations might have been new and fairly unfamiliar to her, but she still knew what was happening, and she absolutely refused to accept that she goes naked baddie bestial kick. What she intended to do with it could possibly cause that reaction to her.
Reaction in her, and Jesus Christ!
Oh, the jokes about guys being able to get it up over any little thing, no matter what the situation was, were only jokes, right? They had to be.
Oh. The voice really evolved in that massive paragraph, and now it's somewhere around South Park town.
I'm gonna fuck you, princess. I'm gonna fuck you until I am just as wild as you are right now. Kim bellowed at the top of her lungs while taking another swing at Shigo. Her rage, desperation, and driving will putting very nearly her normal level of skill and power behind the attack. Unfortunately for Kim, all things being equal, Shigo was her match on a good day. And so very nearly, well, really was enough. And the older woman easily avoided the strike while stepping around to the side of the redhead so that she could grab her from behind. When Kim turned with the follow through of her attack. Stepping in close, Shigo pulled the worn out teenager's arms down to her sides and trapped them with her own arms as she wrapped them around her prey, all while the firm mounds of her breasts pressed against the slick, slippery surface of the teenager's sweat drenched upper back. Her stuff actually erect nipples digging into the taunt. The taut.
Taut like a tiger.
Taut like a tiger. Well-developed muscles here. That wasn't the worst part of it, though. Miss Kim instantly felt the rock-hard presence of Shigo's rigid cock nestled between the compact and curvy cheeks of her upper ass. Ass. Running up the sexy valley of the middle of her athletic lower back, leeching its furnace heat onto her smooth, damp flesh like a feverish beacon of indecent excitement.
I get what this is now.
I would have also accepted kiln heat.
No, this is a school paper, and the italics are to point out the key vocabulary words that he was instructed to use in his assignment.
That's who says to use fucking, was it furnace in their goddamn papers? I mean, seriously.
Well, he had the choice of furnace or kiln.
I would have taken kiln. It's much better.
Val, you're up.
Okay, Val. Best purr possible.
It's not a purr.
Yeah, but you have to actually like be speaking and purring at the same time.
Hey, you want some cheese and crackers, babe?
Yes.
Yes, I am. Yes. Shago purred into Kim's ear with obscene intimacy. Then her tone turned incongruously sweet and helpful as she added, "How do you make it incongruously sweet? And you might want to think about keeping it down there, pumpkin. I chased you a long way back towards Middleton, while I was hunting you, so even though we're out in the middle of nowhere, well, this is still a national park we're in right now, so who knows who's around, even at this hour. Instead of struggling and screaming like a frenzied wildcat, just like she wanted to, Kim froze up instead."
Suddenly, Ranger Smith walked in with Yogi Bear and Boo Boo Bear.
And then Ranger Smith.
You're making there good were a point. Lot of reasons. Yogi Bear fan fiction.
Yes.
No.
I vote for that. Or any like Anna Barbara overall.
Hanna Barbera.
Yes.
Hanna Barbera.
No.
Barbara. There were a lot of reasons for it. Shago's words, for one, as much as she would never admit it in a million years, thanks to her healthy ego, shall we say. The redhead could actually live with the idea of her sick, twisted rival fucking her for the most likely hours and hours it would take until Shigo was too tired to go on, far more easily than she could live with the possibility of anyone finding out about her present circumstances, let alone that she had, as of yet, failed to win out against the other woman. Then there was the fact that with all the running she'd been subjected to while being chased through miles and miles of deep, open woods, she still hadn't recovered from the exhaustion of growing that very same source of embarrassment. And her subsequent immediate, unexpected, and wholly unwanted spontaneous orgasm with it. Shigo really hadn't been lying about that. Weak as a kitten would have been a massive overstatement. But even so, every part of Kim was filled with a dull ache of fatigue, weighing down.
Wait, she was filled with a Dalek of
Dalek
fatigue?
Of fatigue.
Yes.
I'm tired!
Rest and recuperate! Recuperate! Or ejaculate would have been easier.
Ejaculate!
Weighing down our slender yet muscular limbs like they were each and every one of them packed full of lead and sand.
Leaden?
Lead?
Leaden.
I mean lead.
Yeah.
Lead and sand! Let him stand!
And made all the worse by the fact that, possibly thanks to a constant, steady feed of adrenaline, her mind was still fully alert and running out on maximum... There's no out. Maximum overdrive.
Written by...
Maximum overdrive.
Johnny Forage!
Heightening her senses and honing her wits to the point where she couldn't overlook any part of what was happening to her, even if she wanted to, which she most emphatically did. But mostly it was due to Shago's hands, because even as the pale, perverse beauty spoke, she shifted her grip on Kim so that her forearms were angled upwards, allowing her to keep the distressed redhead's arms trapped in her dominant embrace while she grabbed onto the teenager's perky little breasts and their ludicrously long, stiff as a pair of nails nipples. Ugh. Immediately going to work as soon as she had those sweet little itty-bitty titties That's a tongue twister.
Try it.
Come on, guys.
In her grasp, Shego greedily squeezed and kneaded the small curvy mounds while her thumbs and forefingers pinched, rubbed, and twisted the hell out of the two aching, nearly inch and a half long sensitive shafts.
Oh, yes, so big.
That
nipples.
Tipped the two delicious handfuls of firm flesh she was filling up.
Roy.
To say that Kim was dazed by the erotic assault would have been just a bit of an understatement.
A short, fucking succinct sentence. Oh my god.
Dude, I had some, but they were abusing the fuck out of
the semicolon,
the commas.
Yeah,
nothing she had ever experienced before, because there had been some instances of boys and even one girl clumsily filling her up in high school, not to mention her own semi-regular self-exploration once or twice a week for years now, had prepared her for the sheer tempest of exquisite ecstasy that was lashing
what
through
crack,
her.
What cracker? Must have it.
Hi, Judy.
This is hi, by the way.
Had prepared her for the sheer tempest of exquisite ecstasy that was lashing through her tense, trembling body with each and every electric squeeze and stroke of Shigo's commanding fingers, sending sharp, shivering little spikes of lightning shooting up into her brain over and over again. It was rough, uninvited, pure molestation, and it was also absolutely confusing and utterly shameful for Kim, not only because of how incredible it felt to the stunned teenager, but also because, despite the alien nature of it, she knew instinctively that the hot, throbbing pulses washing through her swelling, upwardly bobbing cock meant that she was not so slowly but definitely, surely getting a full-blown erection.
I'm confused because of so many alliterative words. Has the sexy stuff even started?
Yeah. No. She's got an erection and that's it.
I mean, she started off naked and so was Shigo. This whole thing is literally the text version of male gaze, and it feels really, it's going to get even more uncomfortable to read as it goes on. Reaching up with her own desperately clutching hands, Kim struggled to pull Shigo away from her breasts, clawing and scrubbing at the older, bigger woman's firm, muscular, sweat-slick forearms and stronger hands while frantically trying absolutely everything she could think of to ignore what the twisted villainess was doing to her. Oh god, what? Oh, sorry, this is her inner thoughts, so now the italics are the normal text. Oh god, why did she have to be so good at this? To ignore the way her cock... Jesus, a cock! She had a fucking cock now.
Jesus? I love cock. Jesus. I got some Jesus crackers cock. And cheeses right now.
Just seemed to get harder and harder, not only from the unwanted. Unwanted? Yes, unwanted. Pleasure of Shigo's dominant, demanding attentions, but a thousand times worse from the sensation of Shigo's rock-hard mutant organ pressing and rubbing into her slippery backside and lower back as she struggled. If anything, she feared that it was the feel of that thick, feverish shaft of flesh that was turning her on more than anything else. I'm trying to like lean into the emphasis on the italicized text, but sometimes it just makes no sense. No. No! Not turning her on! Not turning her on at all! Causing an instinctual, purely reflexive physical reaction and nothing more. That was all it was. No different than shivering when you were tickled, or if you were a boy waking up with morning wood. It meant nothing! Hell, electric shocks would cause the same reaction, right?
In fan fiction, they do.
Hey, did you guys ever do that boardwalk attraction thing that had Fester?
The shocky thing.
Yeah,
where you're sticking it?
Exactly. Where it didn't actually shock you, it was just vibrating really, really fast in your hands.
Yeah.
That's sort of what this fanfiction is doing.
No, I must have gone to like a bootleg boardwalk. They just, you know, stuck a fork into a plug socket and you had to grab it.
Unfortunately, Kim's attempts to resist getting hard met with about as much success as those to dislodge Shigo's accursedly skilled, downright masterful hands from her tight, throbbing, pleasure-soaked breasts and nipples, which was to say, none at all. That's fairly short, there was only three lines. If anything, after the first few seconds of struggle, it was hard to tell if Kim's gripping, grasping fingers were actually fighting with the older woman's hands, or egging her on with squeezing encouragement. Yeah, that's...
Old?
Older. Yeah, that's it, princess! Give me those sweet little itty-bitty titties of yours! Okay, points... Points off for repeated use of a...
Alliterative.
Oh, God, yes! Finally, always teasing me with skin-tight shirts, no bra, and those crazy fucking nipples. Thought you were never gonna turn 18.
That has totally sent away any erections I will have for the next week.
Nah, dude, it gave me all of the erections.
You're also broken inside, Dave.
Brad. Pretty much. Yeah. I'm very sad.
This is our last round through.
Okay.
Make it count.
Shiko growled her hot hunger in Kim's ear, even as her cock squirted out little dribbles of equally hot, slippery slime to coat its freakish head along the older woman's taut, pale tummy and her captive, equally lean, tanned back. And strangely enough, some small, analytical part of Kim's mind immediately puzzled out the hidden meaning in the statement. There were millions of rapists in jail, but anyone labeled a child molester in statuary was basically
statutory.
Yeah, I was statutory. About to say, like, not statuary.
not a statue.
Fuck. Was basically under a death sentence behind bars. Even someone like Shigo, not that particular particularly
particularly
better. Mind you, just she did figure it out.
The problem is, I want to like make a joke about something, you know, that you say, but by the time you finish the sentence, it was 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. A second later, that astute, if not particularly helpful, little bit of distraction steadily and surely slid straight out of Kim's racing distraught thoughts as Shigo curled her supple, strong neck down and latched onto the place where Kim's prominent, well-developed trapezius. I don't even know this word.
Drink for trapezius.
Trapezius? That's pretty awesome. I like that word. It's a good word. 7 out of 10.
Trapezius muscle met her equally strong neck in a hot, wet vortex of silky, black-stained lips and long, slippery tongue, sucking and kissing all the smooth, salty skin from firm flesh beneath her gaping maw with wild, lusty abandon.
Oh, God. I'm forgetting what the words you've been saying are by the time you get to the end of a sentence.
Yeah, it kind of happens.
Yeah. Kim's sole reaction was a soft, involuntary gasp.
Hey, round of applause for a short, succinct goddamn sentence.
Hey.
Hooray. I can't feel my teeth.
No one had ever sucked on her neck before. She was absolutely sure of it, because apparently having her neck sucked on was her hot.
No, there's no ons. Just having her neck sucked. Like a vampire.
Hey, Steve, I'm going to suck your neck.
Yo, Steve, get ready for the next sucking of your lifetime. Yeah!
Was one of her hot buttons, as attested by the fact that the waves of shivering excitement washing through her body had her standing up on her tippy toes, even as she almost, but not really, lost track of what the older woman's hands were still doing to her breasts and nipples.
I'm going to guess that like every single part of her body after having grown that cock, weirdly enough, is one of her hot buttons now.
I can't take this story seriously because they use like really descriptive language and then they throw in like words like tippy toes and tummy and it's like...
it's still for a younger public.
Yeah.
Kim stubs her toe. Oh man, that's one of my hot buttons now.
Shigo purred and cooed and growled throaty sounds of enjoyment as she relished the smooth
she's three animals.
Flavor of Kim's sweaty, but otherwise pristine flesh. While in front of her, Kim summoned up her indomitable will.
She summoned Bahamut.
Like never before. As she frantically tried to sort out her increasingly confused, counterproductive thoughts.
Why I was going to say, like, exactly what we're doing every sentence of this goddamn fanfiction.
Oh, Sean, thanks for posting a Krez picture. Oh, we have our requisite amount of Krez for the season.
But I'm not the one who posted the Krez ones.
It's Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're definitely not Sean. Your name is Val.
Yeah, you should probably figure out your own name. You know, that's kind of an important thing about being in America.
Valcat.
Living in America. Knowing your own name today.
He's a lady living in America.
He's a lady living in America.
Why did having someone doing an impression of a lamprey eel on her neck, having her curling her toes like never before? And why, in the name of all that was holy, did that someone have to be a sick, twisted bitch like Seago? No big.
Yeah, why couldn't it have been a different lamprey?
Yeah, like fucking Ron.
You got out of play worse situations than this, Kim. Why does she have to be so good at that? No, stay on point. Got to focus.
Stay on target.
Too close.
There.
It's just like a distortion ray or a sonic field or pain from injuries. You just need to compartmentalize. That's the word. Walk it out and get on with what needs to be done.
By me.
Just walk it out.
Of course.
West side walking, west side walking, east side walking.
Of course, it wasn't really as simple as that, given that until today, Kim had precisely zero experience with resisting pleasure instead of pain, along with the deep, unthinking, primal instincts of her own very healthy, hormone-stroked teenage.
I would love to have my hormones stroked.
You are terrible, horrible, deplorable human being. And I love you anyway.
Dude, Steve, nothing but net.
I love you too, Steve. Oh, you were
Wait,
talking to
you have dude. A net on your butt? I don't like
dude,
that.
Straight up, man. I gotta catch some sperm somehow.
We're done.
Hormone-stoked teenage body. But still, it was fairly close. So she actually started making some progress, pulling her fractured state of mind back together. Alas, she only managed to get to the point where she knew the difference between up and down once more when she really needed to have reached the point where she was firing on all cylinders instead. Now it's time to fuck you, Kimmy.
Oh boy.
Who's up next? Logan.
Shago's hot, hungry growl of intent was the only warning Kim had as the taller woman suddenly released her. In the short second it took the carnally abused heroine to adjust to all the sensual stimulation she'd been suffering suddenly disappearing. Save for some ghostly aftershocks, Shago had slid her left hand around the redhead's narrow, sexy waist and across her stomach while planting the other one right in the center of Kim's broad, well-built shoulders. She then pushed forward with irresistible, commanding strength, stiff-arming Kim into bending forwards as well as forcing the redhead to throw her arms out in front of her. At least, she did not want to be smashed face-first into the broad, mossy trunk of the big oak tree a few feet in front of her anyway, which she didn't. Even as Kim was shoved forwards against her will, desperately grasping the rough, heavy bark of the tree in order to keep from falling over, Shago used her dainty right foot to kick each of Kim's feet further out to either side of her, broadening her stance until, ironically, it looked like an admittedly sexualized yet still quite recognizable version of assume the position that law enforcement used before frisking suspects.
Why is that ironic?
I don't know why that's
David,
ironic.
Assume the position!
Done. What's next?
Then, with her victim placed more or less the way she wanted, the tall, athletic Amazon took a slight step back and shook out her luxurious mane of hair before reaching down with her right hand and, without any further preamble whatsoever, grabbing her monstrous cock so that she could, comma, with a surprising amount of skill and precision,
direct air traffic, comma,
press the fat, comma, rounded tip of her slime-coated alien glands.
Oh, yeah, that's a sexy noun.
Center of the pretty, now, comma, pale pink mouth of Kim's exposed, equally drooling cunt.
Not turned on whatsoever.
Shego moonlights for Amazon.com.
Yeah. The shock of that feverish, firm contact with the opening to her most intimate places brought everything into unnaturally crisp, clear, crisp, clear focus for Kim.
She could hear the morning birds chirping in the distance, feel the soft, feathery moss, rough and gritty ridges in the bark beneath her hands and forearms, smell every last variance of the musty, mossy forestry scent coming off the big tree her face was inches away from.
Honestly, this story is... It really is sleep-inducing.
Coincidentally, right at that moment, my screen just blacked off.
Yeah, like, it's even putting our machines to sleep.
She could even feel the warmth of the diffused sunlight on her exposed skin, along with the shivers of the gentle breeze that fought back against that heat by chilling the sweat covering every inch of her. And of course, aside from all that and more, she could also feel every last bit of Shiko's sultry, soft hand where it gripped her left hip, along with the blazing inferno of heat that was that weird alien cockhead resting against her pussy and the soft, supple skin of the firm, sharply defined diamond wedge that framed it, indenting her inner thighs and ass and calling out to anyone who could see it like a sexy, enticing guide straight to her sleek, hairless womanhood. One thing Kim felt more than anything else in her frozen, hyper-aware state, however, was the deep and abiding sense of humiliating shame.
Oh God, what was that even stop? Where did we start from?
David.
I like how it's like, you know, it brings everything into focus for her, and I'm just thinking, God, this is the like lamest like awakening powers scene for a superhero ever.
Like this is more boring than all the filler episodes of DBZ.
Oh, come on. Yes. Some of those filler episodes were really good.
Like the driver's license episode.
Then
it's even more so reinforcing that this is boring. Anyways, Dave,
So that's the point. It's not really a fair comparison to say this is more boring than an awesome driver's license episode. This is more boring
than watching C-SPAN.
Hey, I like C-SPAN.
Hey, American law is very important. And even though you might find it boring, it is very important.
It's your turn to read Duke Carl, please.
Again?
I need Carl. I need Carl in my life.
That shame had nothing to do with what was happening right now, however, or even what was most likely about to happen. No, instead it stemmed from something else, something that with her concentration was attention fixed solely on things like ignoring, denying, or fighting against her growing erection and everything that was causing it. Kim hadn't noticed what was going on even a little, because right up until now, just at that very moment, Shigo pressed her very real, very freaky cock against the mouth of him, more or less virgin hole.
Didn't she already like plunge into that before? Two pages since Shigo's pressed her penis against Kim's cunt. End the penetration. This is Dragon Ball Z.
The redhead hadn't a clue that the entire length of her king was positively crawling with wet excitement. She could feel it seeping down inside her, ready to drip out at any moment. Or rather, she could feel it now.
Crawling in her skin.
Crawling in
these wounds, they just won't heal. These wounds, they just won't hunt. back to what we were saying. Anyway, and that disgraceful discovery that she was practically gushing more than she'd ever come close to before, and her flushing with embarrassment to the point that she had very nearly thought she might faint. Maybe that shame wasn't so abiding after all, because the moment Shigo moved on, the what was most likely about to happen next, every single thought in Kim's head was replaced with a singular, all-consuming need to suck every little last bit of oxygen in the entire forest into her lungs and then some. Kim was doing her very breast impression of drawing boost impression of drawing bellows inside her or behind her, Shago was hissing softly through clenched teeth in a broad, curling smile of absolute delight and wicked carnal hunger.
What
the feel.
Say, Roy?
Yeah, that's fine.
The feel of Kim's slick, steamy opening pressing against more and more of her fat, flaring glands as she pushed it forward was absolutely unbelievable. It just kept getting the hole of her freaky cockhead in its grip right up to the tips of her three nubby
little
chicks.
Line. It just kept getting better and better as she forced...
Better and better as she forced that tight, constricting mouth.
Butter and butter?
Until it had the hole of her freaky cockhead in its grip right up to the tips of the three nubby little projections. Then, just like magic, it got about 1,000 times better as she felt that glorious teenage curt give way before her.
Shigo then reached in front of her and pulled a bird out of a hat. Like, wow!
Ba-da-da-da.
It was like magic.
I'm going to throw my socks over there now. This is getting too hot for socks. Ah, gorgeous.
No, that's the episode title, Too Hot for Socks.
Suddenly popping forwards as it buried itself way inside Kim, completely out of sight and surrounded by the furnace heat of her annoying adversary's sleek, slippery inner surfaces. Whoa, calm down, woman. Why are you gonna drop things? All while the pretty and pink entrance closed up tighter under thick, rigid shaft. Oh, God. Yes. That was about the only thing Shigo could think during the eternity that was her long, steady slide into Kim as pleasure streaked up into her brain from every last bit of her glands. The whole of its surface stroked firmly down to each and
right
every
down.
Little noob.
Right all down.
Right, fucking shut up, Steve. God, you fucking referee piece of shit. Fucking referee, goddamn asshole.
Dave, you need to stop getting so drunk. Stop fucking up so much.
Okay, every little last noob. All while a far visible but still noticeable pleasure had held her thick, bumpy shaft as more and more of it fell off beside Kim and grabbed by the same heavenly pressure on all sides. It was the most incredible experience of her life, and if she had been in any state of mind to be grateful, she would have thanked her lucky stars that she had foresight to prepare herself by jerking off 12 times the day before she had gone after Kim. Because if she had injured her tight teenage rival with a virgin cock, she absolutely sure she wouldn't have spoiled the moment with a premature ejaculation at the very first stroke. Even with the bit of experience she had gained learning the ins and outs of her new appendage while pleasuring herself, she was still nothing. Or shit.
Drink.
She was still having a hard time controlling herself. Jerking off was pretty damn good, but it was nothing compared to the real thing.
So, in that entire page, all that happened was a 3-second insertion.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think it felt good,
or pretty damn
it's,
good.
It's hard to tell.
Val, it's your turn.
Okay.
And yeah, this is the anti-fanfiction. This is where everything becomes boring.
Yeah.
It's like the, what was called the one that they read? The Eye of...
The Tiger.
No, the one that...
Argon. The Eye of Akon or something.
Yeah.
Argon.
Where it's all descriptions and descriptions. Then the perfect timeless moment of bliss came to an abrupt end as Shago felt her cock head settle snugly into the end of Kim's cunt, leaving a good 2 or 3 inches of her still to go. The hell? Shago thought to herself and then snorted softly. Well, I guess I am pretty damn huge, and Kimmy is pretty damn virginal, it seems.
Drink for pretty damn.
Pretty damn.
Drinking.
Guess it might take a while before I get her nice and stretched out so I can go pussy? Deep in her, I suppose it would be. Oh well, not like it matters. We've got all day and night. Actually, about as long as it takes until I'm too hungry or thirsty to go on, I guess. Or she gives out on me from a heart attack or something, I suppose. The last part was pure flip sarcasm. Shigo knew Kim Possible like she knew herself, so Shigo knew that she would literally have to fuck Kim nonstop for weeks before the feisty, incredibly well-trained redhead redhead sleek, sexy little hard body would even begin to fail on her like that. Hell, she knew from first-hand reports that Kim fought a running battle through the Arabian desert against a caliphate death squad from 3 full days. sorry, without any food or water, so she was pretty damn sure her, at times, infuriating rival could survive a few days of fucking in a forest.
I can't survive a few days of listening to this fanfiction.
Kim is literally Jesus.
And with that, it was like a sudden floodgate opened up in Shego's head. Fuck! I'm naked out in the middle of the woods where anyone could come along! And I've got a cock! I'm naked and I've got a cock and it's stuck inside Kim Possible! I'm finally going to literally fuck this prissy little buzzy buddy over out where anyone could come along and see me doing it. Oh god, that's so sweet. Can't wait.
I just realized what the hell is happening.
Can't wait to start. She started 4 pages ago!
No, she hasn't started.
She started seven pages ago.
No.
This is a good summation of what's happened so far. Like, up to those first two bits, like, you know, naked out in the middle of woods, got a cock, naked, got a cock, stuck, something impossible. That's everything that's happened in 10 pages.
The whole fucking thing is filmed in slow motion, okay? It's 10,000 frames a second.
Fucking Max Payne bullet time bullshit.
I know. And, no, she didn't start fucking her. She's actually, like, using her cock to stretch her out. And that must be fucking painful. Can't wait to start fucking her and making her come whether she wants it or not. Tying her up in knots and fucking her pretty little mouth and her tight little pussy and that cute little cock until she begs for me to stop. Wait, she wants to fuck the cock before the butt?
Apparently.
What? And then I'll fuck her some more and there's not a goddamn thing she can do to stop me. Suddenly, Shego's eyes shut wide as she felt an insistent, itching pleasure start spiking up in her glands, weirdly mostly unmoving deep inside her teenage rival, along with an unexpected quivering from various new muscle bundles deep inside her own guts. The tall, muscular Amazon immediately recognized the signs. She was seconds away from coming. What the fuck? She just penetrated. Not even fully. It was her thoughts. Her fucking fantasizing thoughts. She's gotten herself so wound up with the idea of finally putting Kim Possible in her place once and for all, of fucking Kim Possible in her place, that she was in danger of coming just from the idea of how she was about to dominate her foe. Because really, the thoughts of the orgasmic ecstasy she was going to soon experience weren't so much what had her facing premature ejaculation, despite her preparation. Rather, it was knowing Kim was finally going to get hers, that she was going to own the teenager completely, that she was top bitch and the redhead was hers to do whatever she wanted with.
Okay, I'm gonna own this bitch.
I'm gonna own this bitch! Woof.
Me, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't even have the strength to tell people, because you know, you're the last one.
I'm always last. Except for that one time, but we don't talk about that anymore.
We don't talk about that.
Okay, calm down. Calm the fuck down, girl. Shego thought frantically while biting her bottom lip. Can't lose it now. You are going to fuck her. Sorry, you are going to fuck her. The way you want, not the other way around. Though seriously, Shego highly doubted that Kim actually wanted to make her pale abuser come, but still. Now take control and do what needs to be done, bitch. Thanks, Aaron Paul. A second later, however, much she didn't want to, but knew she had to, the pale, pragmatic beauty was chanting something over and over again in her head. Dragon in a bathing suit, 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 dragon in a bathing suit. It really was the ultimate weapon for this kind of dilemma. 100 times better than remembering baseball stats, guaranteed. Unless you remember the baseball stats in a bathing suit. Meanwhile, in front of Shego, Kim was biting her lip too, and had chewed it off, probably, though for entirely different reasons. Last few seconds had been a sheer, unrelenting nightmare for the normally feisty redhead. The feel of that huge, freakish cock violating her most private of places as it slid into her and filled her up like her fingers, vibrator, or dildo never had before. Well, it unleashed a cacophony of complex, twisted responses inside her, the greatest of which were anger and shame. So much anger and shame. Yeah, a cacophony. She was embarrassed that she hadn't managed to keep Shego from doing this to her. Furious that she'd failed to get away from her. Are we her psychologist now? Outwit her or outfight her. Humiliated that as of yet, she still couldn't do anything to prevent the old woman from molesting her. Angry and ashamed that she hadn't been able to beat her wicked, perverse foe like she usually did. But mostly, she was ashamed. Didn't we already say shamed? Yes. Embarrassed and humiliated, but not ashamed by the realization that despite all the countless reasons why what was happening to her was so vile and perverse, her main utterly wrong sick reaction to Shigo's sexual abuse.
Wrong sick? Is that even a fucking word?
Apparently.
In Kim Possible it is. It's a term they came up with. Wrong sick reaction to Shigo's sexual abuse was that it felt totally amazing. Oh sure, she was so uncomfortably filled up that she thought she might rupture if she took a deep breath, but that was part of what made it so appalling. I think she meant appealing? No, appalling, because she actually found herself liking that. And the pleasure, oh god, the pleasure was so good. The process of growing a dick must have changed her insides as well as her outsides, because unlike every other time she'd ever explored herself, she could now feel just as much shivering, streaking delight from every last inch of her cunt, all the way down to the bottom, which didn't even pinch and make her want to sit up and yelp when Shigo hit it like it should have. Plus, despite that same cunt running like a garden hose, the thick shaft of Shigo's cock was tugging on her so much that it was pulling the head of her stiff little clitty down against its silky smooth firm underside, causing streaks of far sharper ecstasy to stab up into her head as that sleek rod rubbed up against her swollen little nub on the way in. What even happened in that paragraph? I've lost track.
Nothing.
It felt good. It felt good. She was filled up and it felt good.
Thank you to Brad, Roy, Dave, Val, Logan, all of our people in the chat, DG2016, GBZ, Roy, Sean.
I love GBZ2016. Steve, I can't feel my teeth. Can you come hold me, please? I need a big, strong man to hold me.
Be sure to check us out next week when we read even more.
Hi, chopped liver?
I didn't say that at all.
Please make no mistake. We're not done. We have another.
Yeah, there's like 15
we're
more
pages.
We're
not half done
shit.
This fucking fanfic.
This is all Steve's fault somehow.
No, it's not my fault.
This is all Steve's fault.
Everyone
David was the one who wanted to read a Kim Possible foodific.
Oh, yeah.
Blames to stevoborts at stevoborts.stevoborts.com.
Also, Steve-O, please hold David. I need a big, strong man to hold him.
I need me to hold me a strong man.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.